done now, Lord, in our hearts in the midst of this service now today. I pray now for just a few moments, God, that you would anoint, Lord, these lips of clay. I realize today that, Father, I can do nothing, Lord, apart from you. I pray you'd anoint me with fresh oil. Give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. And I pray that you would allow me to preach the message, God, that's needed for this hour. Then, Lord, I pray that ears and hearts will be open and receptive under the preaching of the Word of God. I pray the Spirit of God would search every heart right now. And, Lord, throughout the duration of this message, Lord, if there's someone here today, Lord, it's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray today would be the good day, Lord. They would come and bow on this altar and cry out, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Someone cold, indifferent, Lord, whatever the need. God, I pray that you just work among us now. And I am so glad today, Father, you are the God of the living. Thank you for this good number, for all those visitors that are here today. I pray that you'd help us just for a few moments now, Lord, to focus upon you. Lord, remove every hindrance. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments today, I want us to consider the God of the living. Again today before us in this text, now the Sadducees have come again to question Jesus and attack the Lord Jesus. Their questioning was concerning, of course, the resurrection. All of us today must consider the importance of the resurrection. Now, I'm glad that he went to the cross. I'm glad he laid down his life. But if there is no resurrection today, then there is no hope. Everything that we're doing here this morning is all vain and void. I don't have time today, but I'd like for you to go sometime to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. It's a lengthy chapter, but it reveals unto us the importance of the resurrection. And certainly not only that text, but many texts in the Bible certainly today reminds us certainly of the importance of the resurrection. Jesus not only died again, but he rose from the dead. Certainly I'm glad that we have a living Savior. And because he lives, you and I can live also. Why? Because he is the God of the living. Now I want to talk to you for just a moment about this group. Now it's come, the Herodians have come, and they were the Jewish political party, a lot of the Jewish political party. And now we have the Sadducees, which is a part of the Sanhedrin, of the Jewish sect and religion. And today they were sad, you see. And the reason they were sad, you see, is because they did not believe in the resurrection. How sad that is, that any individual would say that they are religious, and of course they were part of the religious group, but would not believe in the resurrection. I'm glad there's hope after this life. I'm glad this is not the end. I'm glad this is not it. I'm glad, thank God, for the resurrection. And, of course, the first fruits being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But let me give you a little information before I get into my main thoughts here today. The Sadducees, again, they were part of the Jewish Sanhedrin. They were of the wealthier class of the Jews. They were a Jewish party who did not, again, believe in the resurrection. That's the reason we say they were sad. You see, they were opposed to the Pharisees. Now notice, these different factions were normally opposed to one another. The Pharisees, the Herodians, and the Sadducees. But notice now, they have joined together in their persecution of the Lord Jesus Christ. They also did not believe in angels or spirits. The Sadducees, if you'll study about them, they ceased to exist after AD 70, after the temple was destroyed. And so let's just give you a little information about the Sadducees. So let's get in this morning a few thoughts here concerning this questioning of the Lord Jesus here, and most of all, most importantly, Jesus' answer unto the Sadducees. Friend, again, you can have questions, and certainly questions a lot of times are normal. We all have questions that we don't understand. But see, this morning, that's where the avenue of faith must come in. Listen, I wasn't there when Jesus died at Calvary. I wasn't there as they were after he had arose from the dead. I've never seen not one bit of that, but I believe every bit of that today simply by faith. Why? Because it comes from the Word of God. And I'll talk about that throughout the message here this morning. And so first of all, I want to give you two things about the Sadducees throughout the message. Number one, I want you to understand, first of all, the Sadducees' fatal mistake. Their fatal mistake. And the reason I bring that to light this morning is because there are so many around us today that are making the same mistakes. First of all, the first mistake I see, fatal mistake that the Sadducees make here in our text before us today is, number one, they did not recognize the authority of Jesus as the Son of God. Now, this morning, I know this is very elementary, but friend, until you get to the place that you will understand and realize and believe by faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that was born of a virgin, that lived a sinless and perfect life, went to a cross and laid down his life and paid a sin debt that you and I could not pay, then friend, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to forever be doomed in your sin. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have been separated from a holy God. And the only thing today that could bring us back into fellowship with a holy God today is that there had to be blood that was shed. And not just any blood, but precious blood and pure blood. And that was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he willingly shed on Calvary so that you and I could be redeemed. And so that's very crucial and that's very important. Yes, the Herodians, they thought they were religious. Yes, the Sadducees, they were religious. Yes, the Pharisees, they were religious. But instead of accepting him as the Son of God, they were doing everything they could to question him so that they could reject him and reject his word and reject his way, just as so many are doing today. Don't make that fatal mistake today. He is, he will always be the Son of the living God. You ought to get that settled in your heart. But I'm afraid there's a lot of people today that don't have that settled in their heart. They say he was a good man. And certainly he was. They say he was a good teacher. And certainly he was. But I'm glad he was so much more than that. And I'm glad he's so much more than that to me today. I'm glad he is my Savior. I'm glad he's my Redeemer. I'm glad he is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Today. I'm glad I know him as my Savior. But so many people question the authority of who he is. Understand this morning. He's the very authority that you will bow before one day, either in adoration or your own condemnation. He's the one. So I'd rather do it now. I'd rather bow before him now and receive him now to salvation than to later bow before him in my own condemnation. That's something you ought to consider today. Notice again their fatal mistakes. Number one, they did not recognize the authority of Jesus as the Son of God. Again, if he's not the Son, neither is he the sacrifice, nor is he the Savior. We've been duped. If he's not the Son of God, he is not the sacrifice, nor is he the Savior. We've been duped. We've been sold a bill of goods. But I'm glad today, thank God, because of a changed life. I can stand before you today and testify that I know that my Redeemer liveth. And his name is Jesus. Notice not only do they make the fatal mistake of rejecting or not recognizing the authority of Jesus as the Son of God, secondly, by rejecting the authority of the Scriptures. Notice what he says here. In verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." So they are rejecting the authority of the Scriptures. In other words, they're deceiving their own selves. And that's what so many people are doing today. They are deceiving them on their own selves. They're convincing their own selves. They're letting the prince and the power of the air, which is Satan himself, convince them that there is another. Listen, friend, there is no other way of redemption. There is no other way today to be saved. There is no other way today to go to heaven today other than through and by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are the sad. No wonder they were sad, you say. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Now, I realize Jesus had not yet died, but it's not going to be long. We're getting closer. He's almost under the shadow of the cross at this time in his life, in his ministry. And not only will we see him in the shadow of the cross, but we see him being placed in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, hallelujah. I don't know about your Savior day, but mine's alive and well. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's the God of the living. Amen. Notice today, their fatal mistakes is not only not rejecting the authority of the Scriptures. What other authority do you really have in your life that you are letting direct your life and convince you? Now, there's a lot of books out there. There's a lot of ideas out there. Just as they were in Jesus' day. Hey, there's a lot of religious people today. But religion will not save you. It takes the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. There is no way to God. There's no way to work myself there. There's no way to give myself there. There's not enough that you and I could do within this body of flesh to please God. The only thing that will please God today is the sacrifice of His Son. But see, the Sadducees missed, just as the Pharisees and the Herodians and all, a lot of that religious crowd of that day, they missed it. They rejected the authority of the Scriptures. Not only do we see them not recognize the authority of Jesus and rejecting the authority of the Scriptures, but then thirdly today, the next fatal mistake I see that they make is the reality of His power. Notice Jesus says, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Think about that for a moment. God is all powerful. Let me go over here and say that. God, the true and the living God, the one that is seated on the throne in heaven today, is the one of all power. He's never been defeated, nor will He ever be defeated. He's never made a mistake, nor will He ever make a mistake. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too big for God? Is there anything too little for God? I say emphatically this morning, no. Why? Because He has the power. He has the power this morning that you and I cannot even realize. He had enough power that He could speak and a world would come into existence. Friend, that's power this morning. Thank God He had the power. Thank God to lay down His life. He had the power to take it up again. And I'm going to read that here in just a moment. Thank God today He has the power to take an old sinner and forgive them of their sin and clean them up, put them in a church somewhere, put them a songbook in their head, put a Bible in their head, put preaching in their heart, put teaching in their... Hey, that's the power of my God today. Thank God. I'm glad I'm looking to the one today that has all power. The world's gone crazy around us this morning, and it looks like chaos all around us, but He's seated on the throne today. Thank God everything's running right on time. He's still in control, and in His way, and in His time, He's going to take care of it all. He's going to take care of His young ones. He has the power to come again and rapture the church. He has the power to send judgment on all those that have rejected Him. He is the ultimate power today, my friend. The Herodians and the Sadducees and the Pharisees thought they had the power. They had control. They had the political and the religious realm locked up. That's the way a lot of people in America think today. I got news for them. God is still in charge. Now they come with this foolish questioning. And you say, what do you mean, foolish question? Seven men married the same woman? Hey, come on. Brothers, seven brothers, married the same woman? That sounds like modern day America. I'll try not to dive off in there too deep, amen. So whose is that going to be in the resurrection? Hey, they didn't believe in the resurrection, but they questioned Jesus about it. Hey, if it was a problem, hey, if you don't even believe in the resurrection, why is it even a problem? That's the reason I say beware of a lot of this questioning. Because a lot of times they do that to trip us up. And that's what they were trying to do to Jesus. They were wanting him done away with. They didn't like it because people were following him. They didn't like it because people were trusting him. Hey, it's the same way today. You can be anything in the world you want to be, but if you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God and you proclaim that today, they do not want to hear it. You can mention Buddha, you can mention Muhammad, you can mention this religion, you can mention that religion, and they're okay with it. But when you begin to whisper that name and proclaim that name that is above every name, the name that, thank God, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that name being the name of all names, the name of Jesus this morning. But notice their fatal mistake. Mistakes. And the reason I want to emphasize that so today is because so many people are making those same mistakes. Everybody you talk to is saved. Everybody you talk to, yeah, I'm ready to go. But you see no change in their life. You see, and I'm not the judge today, and I'm not trying to be. They seem to have no interest in spiritual things. They live like they want to. They talk like they want to. They go where they want to go with no conviction. I don't know about you, but when God saved me and redeemed me, and I'm nowhere, never been perfect and never will be on this side of eternity, but I'm glad there's something living inside of me. Thank God that the power of God put within me that, thank God, I want to try to do right. Now, I don't always do right, but I want to do right. God put a desire in my heart. And sure, I've still messed up. And sure, I've still come short. And sure, I've still sinned. But I can't stay there. I can't make that my address. I'm going to tell you why. Because the power of God changed me. And he put something in me. Everybody says they're saved. Everybody's religious. But are you part of the living or are you part of the dying? Because Jesus said he was the God of the living. Well, preacher, we're all going to die. Well, barring the rapture of the church, and that's going to take place because we're even preaching on that now on Wednesday nights if you want to get in on it. But barring the rapture of the church, sure. Every person in this building is going to die. Young, middle-aged, old, you're going to die. And if there's no hope beyond this life, then we're in trouble. See, God said, Jesus said he was the God of the living, not the dead. Those that have passed on in Christ is more alive today than they've ever been. I sure do miss some of them. But if we could look at where they're at today and see what they're experiencing today, praise God, we'd have a greater desire to go be with them than we would for them to come back and be with us. Hallelujah. Thank God today. Don't make the fatal mistake this morning, as the Sadducees made, of not recognizing the authority of Jesus, of rejecting the authority of the Scriptures and the reality of His power. Matthew 9:6, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. Number one, I'm glad he has the power to forgive sin. I've already said some of that, but let me just hit it one more time. I'm glad he has the power to forgive sin. How much sin, preacher? All sin. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad he can forgive the drunkard. I'm glad he can forgive the doper. I'm glad he can forgive the harlot. I'm glad this morning he can forgive the murderer. I'm glad this morning, thank God, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, I'm glad God has the power to forgive sin today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We can't even forgive one another for little old petty things. Oh, Lord, I could pull up here and park a while. You know what Jesus told us? He said, if you expect me to forgive you, you're going to have to forgive one another. Lord, have mercy, I could pull up here and park a while. I ain't got time. But I'm glad this morning he has the power to forgive sin. Preacher, I've sinned since I've been saved. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness today. That's him. He's standing before him. And the knotheads couldn't see it. Same problem today. Well, preacher, I want to clean up a little bit. Do my part first. Forget it. Forget it. How you know? Because I tried it too. Miss Debbie, I tried that too. Well, I'll get this better and I'll get that. But I found out the more I tried to get it better, the worse it got. Huh? Anybody else there been? I mean, God got to dealing with your heart, and so you was going to try to figure out ways you could make it better. Well, I soon found out I couldn't make it better until one Sunday morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. One Sunday morning, under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, I got to the place I figured out I couldn't save me, I couldn't redeem me, I couldn't change me, I couldn't make me better, but I made my way to one, thank God, September the 27th, 1987 at Flint Hill Baptist Church. I got out on this side, made my way to an altar, cried out to one, thank God, and said, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, I'm glad, thank God. At that moment, at that instant, he had the power to forgive me of my sin. He has the power to forgive present sin, past sin, and future sin. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're sinners. That doesn't give us license to sin. Now, I don't preach that. That ain't Bible. If you ever get right with God, your want to will change. You'll want to live by the precepts of His Word, not your own. Hallelujah. He has the Sadducees' fatal mistakes before us. In the reality of His power, He has the power to forgive sin. He had power to lay down His life and take it up again, as we said a while ago in John 10:18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. Job chapter 14:14, talking about the resurrection. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. As you study, a lot of folks think that the book of Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible. And even Job was looking for a time of a change, of a resurrection. I'm glad my Redeemer liveth. He not only died, he not only had the power. Listen, they didn't take Jesus, even after through all the questioning and all the trials and all the mockery and all the beatings and all that he went. Hey, they didn't take his life. He laid it down. And not only did he lay it, he's the only person in history that's laid down his life and then been able to take it up again. Hey, man, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. Thank God. No wonder they were sad, you see. He has the power today. See, their fatal mistake was not realizing his authority, not recognizing his authority, not accepting certainly the authority of the Scriptures, then also the power, realizing the power that the one standing before them, the power that he had, the power to forgive sin, the power to lay down his life, and I've already said this, but the power to change a life. And here's what I mean by that. To take that which is dead and give it life. Let me say that again. Some of you looking at me a little funny. To take that which is dead, and that was me. Take that which is dead spiritually and give it life. I don't know about you, but I like life. I don't like talking about death. I don't like being, I mean, I've had to be around it, I don't like it, Brother Randy. You work in, I mean, you just don't like being around it all the time. It's depressing. But I'm glad I got life. No wonder people are going slap dab crazy. They're in death. You realize today we're walking around with a bunch of dead people? That's the truth. I mean, people watch these zombie movies and all that. And if you do, that's up to you. That's between you and God. I ain't a bit interested in that. I mean, people hide their face off and hair off of one side and hair on. I mean, I'm telling you what. Who wants to associate with people like that? Huh? Not me, brother. I look bad enough to get up in the morning. I definitely don't need that. Amen. We're walking around a bunch of dead people. On the outside, some of them look all right. Some of them look a little rough. Well, we won't go there. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Dead people. Zombies? No, I'm not talking about zombies. Oh, that's just a bunch of bull. You young people, get that in your head. That's just a bunch of bull. That ain't happening. Too many people in America are living in a fantasy world. I'll stop right there and move on. I just wanted to run that little rabbit just a little. But we're associating with dead people. They're dead spiritually. That's what I'm saying. And only Christ has the power to give life. He has the power not only to give life, but he has the power to change life. Take that which is dead and give it life. John chapter 1, verse number 2. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened. That's speaking to the believer. That word quickened means to make alive. I don't know why the church is sitting around about half dead. Like zombies. And you hath he quickened who were dead. That's past tense. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. I wonder today, is there anybody in here that God's changed your life and quickened your life? Hallelujah. We're dead. were dead. Were dead. But he hath quickened us. No wonder they were sad. You see, he has the power to change your life. Not only do I see today the Sadducees' fatal mistakes, but lastly today I want you to see the finality of their eternal condition. You say, well, preacher, why would you say that? Because if they continued in their belief and the way that they were believing, the finality of the eternity is not good. There's only two places that are eternal. There's a place called hell, and it's eternal, by the way. You don't go there to have a big party and drink with your buddies and play rock music. No, quite the contrary. It's a place where the Bible says the worm dieth not, where the fire is never quenched, where the torments are real. According to the Bible, you will be resurrected out of hell. If you die without Jesus, you will be resurrected one time, brought out of the pit or brought out of hell to be cast, to stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and to be cast into a pit where the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist are forever and forever and forever. That's reality. And the one sin that sends people to, causes people to go to that place is they reject Jesus as Savior. Now, drunkards and dopers and harlots and murderers and thieves, all those will be there. But it won't be because necessarily they done those things. It'll be because they rejected the way of salvation. Only He has the power to save. You can trust in anything else you want to, but friend, it's going to bring you up short. The finality of the eternal condition is real. The dead spiritually are separated at death from a holy God with no more chances. The living, now notice, Jesus here said in our text that He's not God. He said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Do you realize those three men are in the presence of God today? They're not just Bible figures that you see in the Word of God. How do I know that? Well, notice his next statement. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. That lets me know they're alive. So there's some fatal mistakes that the Sadducees were making. Are you making those same fatal mistakes? If you're making those same fatal mistakes, the finality of your eternity hinges on what you do with Jesus and Him alone. Him alone! Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is all that there is. But see, that word hope has the thought of expectation. I'm expecting something far greater than what I have here. Hey, we just pilgrims passing through this world. Don't get your tent pegs drove too deep here. Because this is not it. But if this is all that there was, we'd be of all men most miserable. I've heard preachers make the statement, and I'm not saying that they were totally wrong in the statement that they were making, but boy, Just living for God in this life, it'd be worth it. And I understand that statement. Even if there wasn't a heaven, there is a heaven. There is something beyond this world. But if this is all that there was, oh yeah, it'd still be worth living for God. I'm not saying that at all, but this is not all. There's so much more. The finality of your eternal destination will be determined before you close your eyes in death. See, the Sadducees has made some fatal mistakes that will bring them to the finality of their eternity. And that eternity, unless they called upon Jesus, is in an awful place called hell today. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. Give me one more verse of Scripture and I'm done. Go ahead and get a song ready, brother. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now get this. Speaking about the story of Lazarus. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Here's the question. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Well, preacher, you done said we're dying. Physically. But not spiritually. 1,000 years from now, I'll be alive and well. Preacher, that's a pretty bold statement. Yeah, boy, and I like it too. Not because of any good thing I've done, but because he changed my life. See, it's sad, you see, when people will not believe the truth of the Scriptures and the power that God has to change a life. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we sure do love you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you, Lord, that we do have you to look to. Thank you for the authority of your Word. Thank you for your power. And Lord, thank you for these Scriptures that we have to study your life and your ministry. And Lord, those that opposed you and those that come against you, Lord, how sad it is to see that, Lord, they questioned you, but yet they seem to have no interest to know you. And Lord, I pray today in the stillness of this service, right now in the important part of this time, that we would allow the Holy Spirit of God to search our hearts. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's not prepared, yes, they may have questions, but Lord, you're the answer. Lord, it's all by faith. Those that may be here dead today, dead spiritually, Lord, you want to give them life because you're the God of the living. And I pray right now in the stillness of this invitation, that Lord, that you would speak to hearts. And I pray hearts would be obedient. And I pray for someone here today that today would be the good day. Lord, if they come and bow and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I believe and I trust in your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Somebody's eternity may hinge on what takes place right here today. Lord, I pray you'd help them to make the right move, that they might move toward Calvary. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our lives. And help us today to be obedient. Maybe there's a Christian here that's strayed. I'd like to come back and say, Lord, help me to get back on track. I want to be all that I can be because of Christ. Take the invitation. Use it, Father. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed before we sing a verse.